Confession time for me. I do not watch NBA basketball. I am so sorry. But yet I'm going to start off with a little bit of NBA basketball talk. Like many of you, though, I have been watching the playoffs with the Pacers. They spent many, many months playing regular season games. And then there was a few select teams they played against to end up winning the Eastern Conference Championship. And of course, that had led them and has led them to the finals. The NBA Finals. Professional basketball is over tonight. Then no more watching the Pacers until next season. Now, I do have to admit, when I originally wrote this message some days ago, I had anticipated there would not be a Game 7. So I had to change my words and see exactly how I put it there. So here they are. They're playing still. Well, here's the thing. In sports, all sports, seasons come to an end. The Super Bowl is the final game in football. The final game in baseball occurs in the World Series. Professional tennis ends their season with the men's ATP Tour and the women's WTA Tour. PGA golfers close out their season with the champion of the FedEx Cup. We got some golfers here, right there. And then, finally, the NASCAR Cup Series crowns one driver on the last race of this year, their season. Well, the Bible tells us that there is a time coming in our world history where there is a final season. A final season. And there will be no next season to get things right. In chapters 24 and 25 of Matthew, Jesus has been teaching us one story at a time about being prepared for the end. And when I say the end could be our life. Better be prepared for that. The end could be when Jesus comes in the rapture, and that sort of ends our way of life here on this earth. There's also going to be a very end of the earth, way into the future. Now, for those who are not prepared, that is, they have not been saved, their eternity will be a place that is separated from God. We'll get to some names for that later. However, for those who are prepared, that is, they have been saved, their eternity will be spent in a place with God, and it's called the kingdom of heaven. It's that word final that I want to focus on with our teaching today, the word final. The dictionary definition of that word includes three things I want to share. The first definition is final means pertaining to the end or coming to the end. That one really makes sense. Or final means conclusive, decisive. And here's another definition for final that I want us to focus on. Final means determining all issues presented so that no further decision upon the merits of the issue is necessary. It's kind of long and convoluted, it sounds like. Let me read it again. Final means determining all issues presented so that no further decision upon the merits of the issues is necessary. Well, the title of today's message is Final Judgment. There'll be a day where God will be determining all issues presented for each one of us so that no further decision upon the merits of the issue is necessary. In fact, in today's teaching, we're going to hear of a time that will come when all of humanity will be separated into two groups, whether they are a believer or an unbeliever. God will even separate his obedient followers from the pretenders and unbelievers. You and I, as believers, we demonstrate what we believe by the way we act. And some messages in the last a week or two have kind of even gotten into that as well. So this is building on one thing after another. To treat each person we encounter as if he or she were Jesus is a hard thing to do. But that's what this message is going to tell us to do. Treat other people as if they were Jesus. Now, what we do for others demonstrates what we really think about Jesus' words to us. Words like this: feed those who are hungry. Give homeless people a place to stay. Take care of widows. Minister to refugees. Look after those who are poor or sick. Visit those who are in prison. So here's where we can start. Can you or me or our church begin doing things that will help people in those situations? Or can we continue doing things that will help people in those situations? Because I believe there's many of us who are involved in activities, either individually or as a small group of people, where you're doing things that are helping these people in these situations. So just keep thinking about that. Now, our verses today, and I'll get to them in a minute, but they're from chapter 25 in Matthew, and we're finishing up the chapter, verses 31 to 46. Those verses include a story that's often called the parable of the sheep and goats. It is a description of the final judgment when Jesus returns to the earth as king. This is even after the rapture, when he returns and he is king, and we all follow him. It depicts, these verses we're going to read, depicts Jesus separating humanity into two groups: sheep and goats. And it's based on how they have treated those in need. And I just read an example of people that have different needs. The goats, well, first of all, the sheep. The sheep are the ones who've shown compassion and kindness, and they're rewarded with eternal life. That's where we want to be. The goats are the ones who have failed to help those in need, and they are sentenced to an eternal punishment. Not what we want. Now, here's the neat thing about this story. Jesus is going to be telling about a king, and he's talking to different people, and he separates these people into different groups. But the thing about this story is that both the sheep and the goats are surprised by the judgment, as they didn't realize what they were doing or not doing were like deeds for Jesus himself. In essence, today's scripture emphasizes the importance of serving others, especially those in need. And it's our way of reflecting Christ's love and showing our faith in action. You might remember, it's been a week or two ago, when I made reference to the book of James, Jesus' half-brother, where he talked about faith and works. And let me remind us again, there is no work we can do to get saved. You just have to say, Lord, I'm a mess, and maybe I've done a lot of bad things, or maybe I haven't done that many bad things, but needless to say, I'm a sinner, and I need you to save me. And I know that you died on the cross to save me from my sins, so I'm accepting that as a free gift of grace, grace that is greater than all the sins of all the world, of all the people who've ever lived. And that grace is even big enough to save me. I'm accepting that. And then you become a sheep. That's the way that happens. So we're serving those in need with action. This passage also serves as a powerful reminder that our actions, especially toward the marginalized and the vulnerable, will be considered in the final judgment. Jesus begins the parable by saying it concerns his return in glory to set up his kingdom here on the earth. And therefore, the setting of this event is actually at the beginning of the millennium, after the tribulation. So again, in our in the upcoming events that could happen, the next thing that could happen at any time, today or 1,000 years from now, is the rapture. All of the dead in Christ shall rise, it says in Thessalonians. The dead in Christ shall rise first to meet Jesus in the air when the trumpet sounds. And then those who are still living that are Christ followers, they'll be caught up in the air with him. That's the rapture. And then the tribulation of 7 years starts. And after the tribulation, there'll be 1,000 years of Jesus reigning as king here on this earth. That's the millennium. Well, so here we are talking about, I'm getting ready to read about something that's about the millennium. That's way away. All those on the earth at that time will be brought before the Lord, and he will separate them as a shepherd separates sheep and the goats. The sheep are those who are saved during the tribulation, and the goats are the unsaved who survived the tribulation. So, while this parable I'm about to read is for a time in the future, the principles of the parable are applicable to every one of us today. So when you leave here, you're going to have work to do. I'm going to have work to do. And it's very simple. I'll get to that. Speaking of getting to it, let's get to the message in Scripture. Matthew 25, starting with verse 31. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Jesus used sheep and goats to picture the division between believers and unbelievers. In Jesus' time, sheep and goats often grazed together, but then there would be a time where they'd be separated when it was time to shear the sheep. So people understood that, this little story, this little analogy. Now verse 33. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. And I was in prison and you visited me. Now, as if they're surprised, verse 37, then these righteous ones will reply to the Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? And when did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. This parable describes acts of mercy that we can all do every day. I'll stop here and just pick up on something. After church ended in Kennard, a lady into her 80s was talking to me about the works of mercy that she can do. When she was younger, she did all kinds of things for people in need. She says, now that I'm older, it's a whole lot different. So I thought, well, that's a good thing to share. If you're young, man, there's opportunities that you got that a lot of people won't have, and you have the energy and the connections and the vigor and all that. But as you get older, there's still works of mercy you can do. So just let the Lord lead you there. Well, these acts do not depend on wealth, ability, or intelligence. They are simple acts freely given and freely received. In other words, we have no excuse to neglect those who have deep needs, and we should not think that these responsibilities only belong to the churches or the government. Jesus demands our personal involvement in caring for others in need. Now then, as scholars, you know, look at verses and such like that, and I try to read everything best I can and try to understand, but let the Holy Spirit help me to understand, to make it understandable for you, for all of us. But there's been much discussion by scholars about the identity of these people that are referred to as the brothers and sisters mentioned. Some have said, well, they're the Jews. Others say that they're all Christians. And still others say that they are just suffering people everywhere. And such a debate is much like the lawyer's question to Jesus when he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? He was trying to get real specific when Jesus said, love your neighbor. Well, who's that? And basically, if you remember the story, Jesus said, anybody you come into contact with that's got a need, that's your neighbor. So this is very similar to this. The point of this parable is that it's not the who, but the what. The importance of serving where service is needed. See a need, meet a need. The focus of this parable is that we should love every person and serve anyone we can. And by doing this, such love for others glorifies God by reflecting our love for Him. In other words, you know, we can reflect our love for God by just saying, I want to testify this morning, I love Jesus. Thank you very much. We want to sing a song about Jesus and, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. We might even, there are other things we could do to just to tell other people how we love Jesus. I think what this parable is telling us all is, let me tell you how to love Jesus, to show you love Jesus, and that's helping people in need. See a need, meet a need. Well, let's finish these verses starting with 41. Here's the other group. Then the king will turn to those on the left and say, away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me into your home. I was naked and you didn't give me any clothing. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me. Now look at verse 44, what they say. Then they will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger, naked or sick or in prison and not help you? And he will answer, I tell you the truth. When you refused to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me. And they will go into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. One of the things I'm always on the lookout for is some good quotes, things that are simple, easy to remember, and I try to use them wherever I can, but particularly in messages. Here's a neat quote to keep in mind about all this. Life is short, better enjoy it. Do you like that? Life is short, better enjoy it. But here's the other part. Eternity is long, better prepare for it. Eternity is long, better prepare for it. Now, eternal punishment that's being referred to takes place in hell, which is also called the lake of fire, also called Gehenna in the scriptures. It's the place of punishment after death for all those who refuse to repent. In the original languages of the Bible, there are three words that have connection to eternal punishment. And when I say the original language of the Bible, in the Old Testament, the original language is Hebrew. In the New Testament, the original language is Greek. So there's different words for different languages. Let me share these three things with you. You may have heard this term, this word, Sheol, S-H-E-O-L. Sheol, or sometimes referred to as the grave, is used in the Hebrew Old Testament to refer to a place of the dead, and it's generally thought to be somewhere under the earth. Second, Hades. You've heard the term Hades before? Well, that's the Greek word used in the New Testament for the underworld, the realm of the dead. The third one is the word Gehenna. We don't think we say that, you know, or hear that, but that's in the Bible. But Gehenna, or hell, was named after the valley of Ben Hinnom near Jerusalem, where children were sacrificed by fire to the pagan gods. This is the place of eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels that was referred to in the story. But guess who else it's prepared for? Also those who do not believe in God. That's where they will be. So this is the final and eternal state of the wicked after the resurrection and the last judgment. This is where the goats go. You don't want to be a goat. Repent. Ask Jesus to come into your life. Let him change you right from where you are right now. And then he'll work with you. Remember that little kid's song? And I think it was actually an adult group that wrote it and sung it. But he's still working on me. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. Why? Because he's still working on me. I'm almost 70 years old. He's still working on me. If I live another 70 years, hope not. I don't think my knees could take it. But he would still be working on me. And that's the thing. He's still working on all of us after we're saved. Okay, I got off track there, and I think that's a warning. Get back on track. Jesus' warnings against unbelief are meant to save us from the agonizing eternal punishment. I've said this phrase several times in the last few messages. All this is Jesus not trying to scare us, but trying to prepare us. Remember that? The core message, and I'm just about done, the core message of the parable of the sheep and goats is that God's people will love others. Good works will follow and result in us being in relationship to the shepherd. Followers of Christ will treat others with kindness, serving them, catch this, serving them as if they were serving Christ himself. When did I ever do those things? When you did it to the least of these. Now, the unregenerate, they live in the opposite manner. So while goats can indeed perform acts of kindness and charity, their hearts are not right with God, and their actions are not for the right purpose, which is to honor God and to worship God. So, to all the sheep, I think I'm looking at all sheep here today. If not, you talk to me later and we'll get you converted. To all the sheep, let's leave this place now, and this is our homework assignment, and be on the lookout for opportunities to help someone in need today, tomorrow, and the rest of this week. Can you do that? There's a homework assignment. You've got something to do that's right from the scripture, and you'll make your pastor happy, and you'll make Jesus even happier. Now, tonight is the final game of the NBA Finals. Go Pacers? Is that what I'm supposed to say? Yes, yes sirs. Yes, sir. Yes, yes, I don't get that, but I guess that's what the t-shirt says. So tonight's the final game. Well, for us individually, though, unfortunately, we don't know when we will play our final game. In this life, Jesus continues to encourage us to be prepared. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for the way you teach. And all we do have to do is just read scripture and we get understanding. It's simple. Two choices. I'm choosing and I have chosen to be the sheep. I pray all these I'm speaking to have already chosen to be a sheep. And that means you're our shepherd. Help us, Lord, to follow you. And Lord, we know that even as sheep, we can get into trouble. And that's why you carry that big staff. Sometimes you use the hook to pull us away from places where we shouldn't be, but we're still a sheep. Sometimes we're to be prodded to go places where we need to go, and you use that other side of the staff. So, Lord, whether we get poked, prodded, or on the hook, we want to follow you and be obedient to you. And this week we're going to be specifically on the lookout for others in need, and that's how we'll show you that we love you. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And now let's all go and be blessed by blessing others. Okay? Be blessed. Amen. A lot of blessings there at the end.